I keep on cheating myself, thinking I can do without. But my eyes sometimes betray me. I read words that are not in the text. So, let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, with which first lived in your grandmother Louise, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light and through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith, love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. In my sermon today, I just wanted to bring to you something that happened to me years back when I was at high school. I went to a high school, to a church school, a mission school, by the Dutch Reformed Church. We used to call it, now it's only called Reformed Church. Boy, they were strict. At one time, if they suspected the letter was coming from a girl, they would open it first before they give it to you. So I received some of these letters from friends who were girls and boys as well. And I received some letters from my parents as well. But it's the letters from my parents that I didn't like. Because every now and then they were telling me about, yeah, you mustn't have girls. You mustn't smoke. You mustn't drink. What they didn't know that boys at that age, this is what we want to do. We like chasing girls. We like alcohol. We like cigarettes. And being at a mission school, this was a no-go area. I think I once told you this when I tried to smoke and the tip of my cigarette flew away when we were in a truck traveling to a football match and it burned one of the boys' shirt. Already, without anyone reporting, you've reported yourself. But nothing happened. But now, at that time, I didn't like the letters of my parents. But now, I'm realizing what they were leading me to. So, this has led me to say, in my theme this morning, at that time, I didn't like my parents' letters. But now, I realize I need this letter. I no longer need the letters of my friends that were there, they were writing to me, because they were not encouraging me to be a good citizen of this country or wherever I go. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy as well, he was encouraging him about the life a Christian should live. Paul had left Timothy in charge of a church in Ephesus. And as Timothy was a young man, you can imagine what was going on in there. Maybe there were some elders in the church who were saying, oh, this little boy, what is he going to tell us? You only started preaching yesterday. We've been here long before you. But Paul is saying, boy, you are young. Don't let anyone who is older in the church discourage you. Remember, I laid my hands on you to bless you. This blessing is not from human beings. It's from above. So this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. The laying of hands on you encourages you to carry on spreading the gospel. Paul is also saying to Timothy, don't forget to pray for other people. I reminded you this morning that is one of the concepts of a Christian. We need to pray for one another. Paul is saying, constantly, I'm remembering you in my prayers. So you too, you must remember other people in your prayers. What about us this morning? What are we saying when it comes to pray for other people? He also mentions the relationship that had developed from his grandmother and mother. So this runs in a family. Three generations. They've developed faith in God. Wow. So what we do, our children copy what we are doing. Even our grandchildren, they copy what we are doing. I'm encouraged with that. So Paul is saying, learn from your relatives. If they are doing bad, don't follow them. But if they are doing good, follow them. But I don't think they were doing bad, because Paul, being a man of God, was encouraged from what he was seeing in Timothy. So he said, remain in that faith. Don't doubt your calling, Paul is saying to Timothy. I've seen the faith in your grandmother and in your mother. It's now in you. So let it remain. So surely, that's why I said, you need this letter, Timothy. If you are like Timothy, maybe you are being discouraged along the way. Maybe it's the behavior of other people in the church. You say, are these fellow Christians really Christians? This letter is for you. You need this letter. What is faith? Why are we encouraged to have faith in God? I looked in the New Living Translation about the word faith, and in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it came up with this. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You don't need to see the bank balance of this account. No. Just be assured that this balance is sufficient enough. That's faith. That's faith. So if you are doubting on your faith, you need this letter. I went a little bit further in Hebrews 11 as well. I found out, what is faith? There was a man in there. He had faith. He had only one son. And God says, hey, mate, can you pick up your son and go and sacrifice him to me? Really? He didn't doubt. He just picked up his son and went on to try and sacrifice him. I wonder, was the wife told? I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. God asked Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. But the Bible doesn't tell us whether Abraham told Sarah. Being the only son. Guys, there are some things we don't need to tell our women if God is asking us to do. They should see the product. Yes? God just picked Isaac and went to sacrifice. Faith. This is what it can do to you. If you carry on again, also you hear that Moses, Jacob, they all had faith. Moses was heading his father-in-law's sheep. And when he heard that voice speaking in the burning bush, I want you to go to Egypt. The scripture doesn't tell us what happened to the sheep or what happened to the father-in-law. But we hear later on when Moses being given advice by Jethro, his father-in-law, how to let other leaders help him. But the sheep that he was heading when that bush was burning, we are not told. When the faith of God is around you or upon you, You can leave anything that you are doing. Without any question, drop everything that you are doing. The disciples, some of them were fishermen. As they were fishing, Jesus came to them and said, come and follow me. No one told us what happened to the fish that they caught that day. Or what happened to their wives. Come and follow me. This is what Jesus is saying. Paul is reminding Paul that Timothy, that Jesus wants you to follow him. Keep on the faith because he won't let you down. All this, what is happening, was well planned before you were born. So you are just coming in God's plan, which is good. So you need this letter. You need this letter. Drop everything that you are doing and come and follow what God wants you to do. That scripture that we read this morning, I am encouraged when you go to verse 7. What it says there. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I've received some letters here myself as well. I think most of you know that one, where it's coming from. When you see a khaki envelope coming by your door, these ones are user-friendly. All these letters that I have here, they are there to instill discipline in me. This one is from DVLA. Don't think it's about claiming points from my license. No. It's a copy of my paper license. But whenever you receive a letter, don't leave it lying there. Open it. This letter has got something to say to you. Whether it's a credit letter or whether it's a DVLA letter, open it. Don't let it sit on there unopened. It might help your discipline. So I'm coming to discipline again, as Paul was also trying to say to Timothy, you need to be a disciplined saver. Solomon writes in Proverbs 16 verse 32, better to be patient than to be powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Wow. I want to repeat that verse again. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Good. What am I aiming at here? What is self-discipline? A child, to him, playing with his toys might be discipline. A soldier holding his gun going on the forefront might be discipline to him. Yes? Parents, as they discipline their child, to them, that might be self-discipline. Okay? But to me, I say that is imposed discipline. Listen to this. A few days ago, I was driving along the road further down, and there were road signs reducing the speed from 40 to 20. So as I was driving towards town, I could see in my view mirror, there was this driver coming. The way he was driving looked like he was actually going to smash in my car. Because I was doing total speed, because it says 20 there. But he was coming. I said to myself, this guy is going to smash into me. So I remained calm. I applied my brakes a little bit to show him that I'm slowing down. Then eventually, he slowed down. He lost his patience. Where is his self-discipline? It says 20 there. But he's ignoring that 20. Do we ignore the speed limit that is in front of us? Because Paul is saying that you need self-discipline. But we ignore that. There are some people who want to be watched by CCTV 24/7 in their lives. There's a point I want to raise here. I was discouraged by one of my relatives. She was talking to me about going to Lotto and play Lotto. I said to myself, no, not the like of you. She's a devoted Christian, and I didn't expect her to do that. I said to her, where is your self-discipline? Ah, pastor, you know, we have these opportunities around us, so you must use them. I said, no, not that one. Would Jesus have gone to queue in a line for buying a lotto ticket? No. Oh, pastor, but we've got an opportunity to raise money. And if I get that lotto money, I'll bring some to the church. I said, don't bring it to my church. If it's lotto money, we don't accept it. He said, you won't know where it came from. I said, yes, but the moment you open your mouth and say, this is lotto money, we won't accept it. Not in this church. I don't know the others in the church, but me, I won't accept it. Isn't this where Solomon says it's better to be patient than powerful? Because when you've got money, you are powerful. Do you know that? One other young man said, well, when I get a lot of money, my family will be happy. You know what happened? He got all that money. Because words, well, that we speak, they actually come to pass. So he said, when I get a lot of money, my family will be happy. The next thing, he left that family to a small family, which was not his family, because he had a lot of money. So he's lost his self-discipline. So self-discipline is very important. It's not about having money. It's not about having money. It's that self-discipline that the Holy Spirit brings into you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So what is happening to your self-discipline that is in you? Listen to that little voice. I hope I won't see you in that queue for lotto around town. Remember, there is a CCTV behind you. Jesus Christ is watching you. Yes, the church might not be around where you are, but Jesus Christ is watching you. When you are queuing that queue for lotto, Jesus Christ is saying, what are you doing? We need to feign our faith. You heard what Paul said. He said, we must feign that gift that we have. How are we feigning the gift that we have? We are not feigning it by going to buy lotto tickets, are we? Be encouraged a bit more by this so that you can fan that flames of your gift. Listen what Paul writes to the people at the Galatian church. They also received a letter, the same as Timothy. But I'm intrigued, and I'd like you to go with me to verse 22 of Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. The church also received a letter which said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And what's the last one? No, the last one on that verse. Thank you. Self-control. Are you able to control yourself? Are you able to control yourself? Self-control is very important. This is why Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, young man, you need to have self-control. I gather Timothy that around that time, a lot was happening around him, as it is happening today. We are no longer speaking to our neighbors, but we are spending a lot of money going to the moon to go and find more space. When we cannot have enough space with the people around us, so we might as well stop going to look for another space in the moon. So Paul, Timothy also had those difficult things, those days. As we have these days, we have computers so that we don't even need a postman to post a letter. You just send an email. But have you seen one thing? When people come together, they've lost that touch of love. They are either on their gadgets when they are around each other. But when they are not around each other, they text each other messages. I miss you so much. When they come together, they remain on those gadgets. So gadgets have become our friends. Gadgets have taken over our love for one another. Where is our self-control? Grow in your faith. Grow in grace, Paul was saying to Timothy. Because of this letter, Timothy was encouraged. You need this letter. You need this letter. You need this letter. I need this letter. Faith is like DNA. When you've got faith, self-control must come with it, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So when you hear that little voice speaking to you, please don't ignore that little voice. When you're about to do something and you hear a little voice saying, I'm watching you, listen to it and stop what you're about to do. And Paul goes on to say, don't be ashamed of the gospel. I gave you an example the other day. I said, when you find me preaching in front of the tube station in London, Some of you hide your face. Oh, what is going wrong with Gilson? If I'm standing at London Station, they're preaching at the top of my voice, or in Basildon Town. I'm 100% sure some of you will hide their faces away from me. Say, come and see what Gibson is doing. You hear that, Mike? Jania said when she meets me in town, shouting at the top of my voice, preaching the gospel, she'll call you. But I don't know for what. Maybe for dragging me away. How many people are ashamed of the gospel today? They think the gospel is supposed to be confined in a certain place, not in other areas. The gospel is supposed to be a public thing. Wherever you feel the gospel must be heard, go ahead. So Paul is encouraging Timothy. He said, no, go ahead, son. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm in jail right now. I've been arrested because of speaking the truth about the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Be like me. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. Two of them. But I think this letter is for me. This letter is for you. You need this letter. It's full of discipline. It's full of love. It's full of encouragement to pray for one another. It's full of encouragement to let that DNA of faith that ran from the grandmother to the mother, three generations. This letter is encouraging. Our times are not different at all with the times Timothy and Paul are living in. What can be different is technology. But the suffering is the same. We also suffer the same. We need money. We need good health. We need our relatives and friends not to die. But we cannot oppose what the Bible says. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So, because of sin, who will die? The Bible doesn't oppose itself. It's clear. What about suffering? Sometimes we run out of money. Who doesn't? We all do. Right? But if we run out of money, please don't go for lotto. I repeat this again. Where is your self-control? To finish, I would like to point out again, the scripture is there to encourage you. Paul, towards the end of these letters, he says, all scriptures are what? Is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I've trained you this morning that stop lotto ideas. Stop ignoring the speed limit. If it says 20, it means 20 for a reason. I suspect when Paul was coming to the end of his letter to Timothy, when Timothy read this, I think he could have echoed the words that are in verse 12. For I know whom I believe is. That will help us to understand that you need this letter. This letter is for you and for me. May we stand up together and sing our